This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's rock. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Today we are live at the Texas Barber College on Lancaster. And if you come by, they're giving away baseball tickets coming up at 5 o'clock. They're going to have another drawing for that game coming up on next Saturday. You can get a $5 haircut. You can enroll in Barber College yourself. A lot of young professionals here making their way to a bright future in the world of being a barber. Okay, so that's what we have going on today. And we'll be here for the next 3 hours. Seen a lot of Tolos come through here today, and we'd love to see you as well. There's Brian Broaddus, Zach Wolchuk. I'm Gavin Dawson. Joey Erickson is in for Lucius Alexander today, who is he's on vacation, I believe, enjoying a nice little four-day weekend there. And you do have Carter Freeman coordinating your video. You can watch us online. And our main man, Ramon Cruz, is your remote engineer here today on location, keeping us on air. Okay, joining us now is football coach Bob Stoops here on 105.3 The Fan. Is the Arlington Renegades, currently second in the South at 3-2 in the XFL. They take on San Antonio Sunday at 2 o'clock. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm doing great. Good to be with you today.
It's always good to catch up with you and talk some ball, coach. How's the season been going? Are you happy with how the guys are playing?
Oh, I'm, you know, happy to be 3-2. Hopefully we could keep getting better here as on the back half of the season, just halfway through it, and feel like we are. We're starting to catch a little more rhythm offensively, and, you know, that's going to help us.
You know, one thing watching the games I notice, and they're doing a heck of a job covering everything and the on-field interviews and the sideline interviews, so much of it appears to be focused on getting players to the NFL level, which I understand because of the tremendous financial windfall. As a coach, is it difficult at all? Is it different at all balancing team and individual goals in the situation you're in right now?
Not really. My guys, they've been awesome to work with every day. I mean, I have not had one issue. So I think they all know if we're all pulling together, you even individually have a better chance of showing up and shining and showing what you can do the more you're – so they all get that. You know, everybody supports and helps one another, and football is the ultimate team sport. Not like basketball, you just bring the ball down and handle it yourself and put it – launch it up, you know, from wherever. It's a different game. So they all realize that, I think. And so it's really been a good, fun team to work with.
What's been the key to your defensive success, Coach? You guys are super stingy on that side of the ball, especially when it comes to your run defense. I know, obviously, offensively, maybe not the results that you're looking for, but this defense, what's really stood out to you guys?
Yeah, definitely. First, it starts with Jay Hayes and Tim Lewis, our two defensive co-coordinators that really call a great game and have the guys prepared. And then we just got a lot of good players over there that are really showing up. Got a great secondary that's made a ton of interceptions. And then, you know, just at all levels, D-line, linebacker, secondary, there's some really good players in there.
Coach, are you feeling better about the situation at quarterback? I know you've had to kind of shuttle some guys, you know, to and from as far as that. Are you feeling like you're more established with what you're doing in the second half of the season with your quarterbacks?
Well, not yet. I mean, we went into last week, you know, absolutely sharing the one and two, sharing the reps equally with Kyle Sloter and Drew Plitt. We went with Kyle last week, but we're doing the same thing this way. He hasn't separated himself enough from Drew, and Drew, you know, also has done some good things in the two games he started. So we're still massaging that. So we may play them both here this week.
Coach, which rule change that the XFL has, whether it's the onside kick alternative or, you know, you got multiple options after touchdowns, out of all these new rules that you've been playing with, which one have you enjoyed the most that you think maybe the NFL or other leagues should really take a look at considering adding?
Yeah, I like the both of the ones you mentioned. The extra points are a lot more exciting, and there's a lot more strategy to going for one from the 2 yard line, going for 2 points from the five, or going for 3 points from the 10. You got to admit, that's a lot more exciting than kicking an extra point, you know? So, and there's a lot of strategy to it. And then I also like the fourth and 15 for, you know, to retain possession of the ball instead of an onside kick. And that's happened a fair amount. You know, a few teams have been able to get it successfully.
It's Bob Stoops here with you on 105.3 The Fan. Okay, who would be your top pick in the draft this year, Bobby? Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, other, if you're in charge.
You know, I just from what I see from afar, just the overall talent of C.J. Stroud at Ohio State would be mine. Just a little more size and, you know, ability to run, a little thicker guy, although probably not much, but just seems to be a little more, you know, more presence with his size. And let's face it, he's been great as well as Bryce Young, but you probably can't go wrong with either one of them.
What has been key for more quarterbacks coming in and having success immediately, like Brock Purdy last year? Is there something evolving in the players or changing in the game that's given them a chance to succeed?
I would say coaching. You know, certain guys, you get on a good team, surrounded with good players, and you got to, you know, and I'm a big fan of Kyle Shanahan, just as a play caller, as a head coach. He puts his guys in great position to succeed, and heck, he did it with three different quarterbacks, I think, last year, and they were still successful. So I think quarterbacks come out more prepared in today's world. I think there's more of the college game when you talk about run-pass options, RPOs, and screens and things. I think there's more of the college game up too. So some players are you know, have already done a lot of this. And then you get good coaching with them.
Yeah.
Coach, you've been around so many great quarterbacks. And I was going to ask you, because of what we've seen with Young from Alabama and, you know, Kyler Murray and the shorter quarterback, I know you're just if you could play, you could play. Is that an attitude that we're going to start to see even more now in the NFL? It used to be where you had to be a certain height, certain this, certain that. Are we seeing, because of the college game, that we're going to just continue to see these shorter quarterbacks have more of an opportunity and get drafted higher because of their ability?
Yeah, definitely. I think, there's a lot of that in today's world. And I think the guy that really, you know, put it to waste was Drew Brees, put all that quieted down. I mean, I don't even know if he's 6 feet tall. So the bottom line, you know, if you can play, you can play, like you said. And these guys have had success for so many years, it doesn't really matter, you know, what their height is.
Coach Bob Stoops with us here in the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. You got to step in and coach that Alamo Bowl for Oklahoma, and I'm sure a couple of your guys are now going out for the NFL draft. I was wondering if anybody that you coached in that game that you could share a little bit of a scouting report with us, maybe specifically, selfishly, a Marvin Mims, who played in our own backyard at Frisco Lone Star.
Yeah, Marvin's a very explosive guy. From what I saw, seemed to ran a great 40 at the, at the combine. So I'm happy for him. You know, he's a great player, great route runner, can adjust to the football and, you know, different angles. So he does a great job. So I think he's gonna do really well.
We're seeing all the pro days going on now at a bunch of the different campuses. I think Alabama's having theirs today. Do you have any pro day memories for you? Is that a stressful day as a college coach?
Oh, no. I only, you know, I'd be there for part of it. I don't even know that I was there all the time for all of it. You know, you want your guys to do well, but, you know, you're out of it by then. I mean, they're not listening to me. They got personal trainers, and they've got this, that, and the other thing. I'm there to support them and wish them well, but I wouldn't say it's ever stressful by any means. You know, I'm sure it is for the players, but it sure wasn't for me.
I'll tell you what, Coach, it was a pleasure. I've been to a couple of pro days myself at Oklahoma, and I want to say you hang a lot of banners in that facility there in Norman. The players were impressive, but all the banners that and the success you had at Oklahoma, that was worth the price of admission to me to walk into that indoor facility and see all the success you had there.
Well, I got that idea from walking in our basketball practice area and our basketball arena, and I thought, well, they hang banners. Why can't we? So then we started hanging them. So those are covered with, there's 7 national championship banners in there. And then just since I was there, and then Lincoln, there's 14 Big 12 championship banners hanging in there as well. So it pretty much covers everything.
You probably know the Red River rivalry better than anybody else, and you coached and won a bunch of those things. I was reading, you know, the ADs for both Texas and Oklahoma talking about getting that start time back to the 2:30 from the 11 a.m. Did you have a preference? Is the 2:30 a better start time, you think, for the fans or being a part of that thing? Do you think it matters when the hell that game's kicked off?
Well, it's definitely better for the fans to be 2:30. They get all that time to eat and get gassed up ahead of the game, you know. But as a player and as a coach, I love getting up and going straight there, you know, get some breakfast, stretch, and going straight to the fairgrounds, to the Cotton Bowl, just because I didn't want to have to anticipate it all day. You know, it was. I always liked being able to go get into game mode right away.
Is that still the game you look forward to the most on your calendar, maybe other than the ones you coach, or is there something else?
Oh, absolutely. It's fantastic. The environment's second to none. And I had a great time for a long time going up and down that Cotton Bowl. And it was, it's a great environment to compete in and to be involved with, definitely.
Well, thanks again, Coach. Congrats on all your success, and we wish you nothing but the best here in the second half of the season there with the Renegades, man. Give them hell. We'll be pulling for you.
I appreciate it. It's going to be 80 degrees, so hopefully we'll have a lot of fans out to see us in Arlington at Choctaw Stadium at 2 o'clock Sunday. Thank you.
Let's go. Yeah, it sounds good. The good weather is finally here, and you can consider that your official invitation from Coach Bob Stoops himself to join him Sunday at 2 o'clock as they take on San Antonio. They're going to take on DiNucci next week.
Yeah, and DiNucci is leading the league in passing.
I don't know what that means, Brian. I'm trying to wrap my head around that.
I hope
that means he's figured it out.
He has figured it out, man. I'll tell you what, they've done a good job. But, yeah, halfway through the XFL season, you know, making that push, hopefully – Coach Stoops can continue on the good ways there.
Well, let's not talk anymore about DiNucci. Mike will try to hire him as the new backup. Sorry, Cooper.
Yeah.
Got a family friend here who's, you know, got it figured out there in the XFL.
Maybe Mike knew what he was talking about.
Maybe he knew about DiNucci. Just needed some development.
Yeah.
Hey, Donnie Fowler contract details, 1 year, 4.25, max bonus 1, base salary 1.5. Cowboys did some great business, and Todd Archer did some great reporting on the details of this contract.
Yeah, Adam Pacifica, the guy that handles the contracts, him and Todd Williams and those guys, they've been on their A game. And as we're getting close to putting this free agency thing to bed, hopefully they can get something done with Hankins. I know that's something they're thinking about. Maybe Hankins will decide, hey, about time for me to get on one of these teams, and him and Adam could get together and talk about it.
DeAndre Hopkins posting video and pictures on social from spots around Dallas. It looks like he's enjoying our beautiful spring patio weather. maybe enjoying some orange juice.
Yeah.
Mimosa? Was that a mimosa?
Might have been. You're working out.
Might have been a mimosa. Yeah, I tell you what, man, there's plenty of places. Coach mentioned 80 degrees. I mean, there's plenty of these patios and stuff like that. You can sit out there and enjoy your afternoons for sure.
Sham weighed in. He replied to Sean Sharif tweeting about the report from Breer that Hopkins could be available for what the Cowboys gave up for Cooks. Mm. Did you see what Sham said?
He said, by all means, sign me up.
What did he say?
Did he say something like that?
If he's available, you go do it now.
Yeah, yeah.
I agree. You know, I've tried to temper my expectations because I don't want to be greedy and I don't want to be silly. But it's a unique opportunity that you don't have to give up a top pick.
Sure.
And his money's coming down so much that you could break up the money into the future and have it not cripple you. And you could give yourself injury certainty. You could give yourself four great wide receivers, Brian. Personally, I'd like to see DeAndre's equivalent step in at left guard. But I'm for more weapons. Somebody's going to get hurt throughout the season. And this is Jerry's opportunity. And Steve's opportunity to show the fans we're all in. We're committed to building the best team that in football that money can buy, and they don't have to give out a $150 million contract to make that happen.
Yeah, I might be talking out of my rear here, but the thing with Hopkins, you know, there was some whispers that he would be willing to work with you on his contract in order to make it more of a situation where it would be more palatable. Now, I'm saying this for the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not saying this for the Kansas City Chiefs or the Buccaneers or these other teams. But there was some whispers saying that, hey, listen, if you're willing to work with me, I would be willing to work with you. That's something I think I would ask that question. But they're really – I mean, they did a great job with the Cooks deal. And, you know, Cooks reduced his salary as well, you know, to be here. And, you know, think about also, you know, Gilmore – Gilmore didn't ask for any extra new money either.
Yeah.
So good job by those guys making those things happen.
If I was Jerry, I'd call these guys up and say, have you seen that redeem team? About LeBron and Kobe, D-Wade. We're doing that with the Cowboys.
The redeem team.
Yeah. You want to be part of something special? Here we go, Nation. We are live at Texas Barber College on Lancaster. And we're having a good time. You can get a $5 haircut. You can enroll for Barber College. You can enter to win some Rangers, some baseball tickets as well. And we'll be here until 7 o'clock. So come join us or stick around and just listen wherever you might be. It is the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, Nation. Time for Wolchuk's Top 10 at 420. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. There's a reason you need a special license to drive a big truck, so companies that hire drivers and put them in a big truck should be held accountable for what happens when one hurts you. Frankly, you need Franklin Frankel. Consultations always free. TruckWreck.com. Had a pushback on the sked. To get a haircut here as we broadcast live from the Texas Barber College. I think we're targeting the expressway now. So coming up.
Sounds like a good spot.
You can come get a haircut right now, $5. $5 haircuts here at Texas Barber College. You can sign up for a new career, and they're giving away baseball tickets coming up at 5 o'clock. Just get on in here and enter the drawing. Here's Wolchuk with the top 10.
Thank you very much. Good work there, Joey. Appreciate you, General. We're about to get into the top 10 most popular Mexican foods on National Tamale Day. Who doesn't love a tamale? Oh, love
I've just
tamales.
Discovered them.
Really?
Dude, last 6 months.
They're freaking incredible. They really, really are. So we'll get into that. What's your favorite Mexican food? 877-881-1053. on the truckwreck.com text line. Twolos, tubers, get on in on this action as well. Before we get to that, I did have two sports things that I wanted to get into. One with the Cowboys, one with our Dallas Stars, since we have our guy Joey the Jet Erickson with us. Ezekiel Elliott reportedly may have to settle for a contract close to the veteran's minimum, according to Matt Lombardo, who covers the NFL for PFF. According to PFF, he was the 41st best running back behind only one free agent runner. That would be Latavius Murray. Running backs behind Zeke include other free agents like Kareem Hunt, Leonard Fournette. And how about Jets free agent running back who Breece Hall actually went ahead and tweeted and said, I think we're good here, Michael Carter. So we'll see what Zeke ends up signing for and whom he signs with. If you missed it back at the top of the 3 o'clock hour, we mentioned Adam Schefter's report that he wants to play for one of these three teams, either the Jets, the Bengals, or the Eagles, which is rather shocking. But, man, veteran minimum there for Zeke, which is about what we expected.
If I'm Jerry and he's going to Philly, I say, come on back, Zeke. Here's your league min contract.
You just to stop that?
If league min is what it is, that's fine. We don't need that. You know, I'm not mad at Zeke. You know, he got let go, and he doesn't have to have any loyalty towards the Cowboys, and it's not that big of a deal if you want to go play for the Eagles. It's not like you're going to help them win, okay? But it's a bad look. Yeah. So we want to keep you out of that.
It is a bad look. All right, the Dallas Stars, as they are still trying to get that top seed in the Western Conference Stanley Cup playoffs. Joey, did you see this NHLPA player poll that came out?
Yes, I did. I saw quite a bit of them. There's a lot of them.
So one regarding our Dallas Stars. Well, this one is from NHL.com, I believe. But Joe Pavelski ended up being mentioned in this. Mm-hmm. They polled the NHLPA. Who affects the game most around the net, either a forward or a defenseman? Everybody was available to select. And the lead vote-getter for this was Joe Pavelski for his willingness to go into the blue paint and his ability to tip in pucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pavelski is recognized by the players as being most effective around the twine. He had fellow Americans Chris Kreider and Matt Tkachuk that rounded out the top three in the vote getting, but how about Captain America himself, Joe Pavelski, getting this recognition, Joey?
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I mean, he's always been known as one of those guys that loves to get in front of the net. He works on that craft constantly every morning at pregame skate, sits there and he gets buckshot at him all day, and he just tips him one after another. And it's good company to be in. He has great hand-eye coordination, and that's why he's such a great golfer too. He's one of the best golfers, as well as getting a lot of power play points.
Joey, what makes him so good? The other night he had a goal where it just basically he saw the shot and he put his stick like flat on the ice, and it just redirected right. How do you become really good at? Is it just the vision to see and to be able to see the shooter to make that happen, or is it just you know what from angles where you have to hold your stick?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, part of it's just being aware of where you are on the rink, and he's so good at that, of where he's positioning himself in the front of the net, right? You're trying to take the eyes away from the goaltender, but at the same time have your stick in a position that's open for a defender or a forward shooting the puck. So he's always putting his stick at an angle that is accessible for shooters. You see it all the time on the power play, like Robertson is on the right wing. He can fire a pass slash shot, and you always see Pavelski's angling that stick away to get a tip on net, and it creates rebounds and chaos in front. That's what you're always trying to do.
Yeah, Joey's nailing it. That's exactly what I saw. By the way, new Spits and Suds podcast out today. Craig Ludwig talks about the recent defensive issues. This is on Odyssey or wherever your favorite podcasts are. It's a great guy here, this Pavelski guy. He's, you know, he's last off the ice.
Yeah.
One of the best net men in the league.
Yeah, he's I love him. I mean, Joe Pavelski, since they made that move, has been absolutely fantastic. And he was a nemesis when the Stars had to play him, but he's been fantastic since. And absolutely go check out that new Spits and Suds podcast. We love them.
You learn something listening to that.
We love our guy Spitzy,
along with
Fred
Lugger.
And Joey.
And Joey.
Joey gets in there, too.
Joey, you get in there as well. And, man, I love listening to Joey talk puck, which you can do on weekends as well, whenever we get Joey the Jet stepping in there.
Puck and A.
I try.
That hosting chair.
No,
you're crushing it, bro.
Puck and A.
You're doing a great job. All right, let's get into the top 10 Mexican food, shall we, in honor of National Tamale Day. We got a lot of good texts coming in.
Yeah, my neighbors own a restaurant, And at Halloween, we go to trick-or-treat, and they're like, well, we have tamales, too.
Oh, jeez.
So they open up this cooler, and I've always been like, I don't know what to think of a tamale, right? Like, I'd never, like, dove into it. I always ordered other stuff. Mm-hmm. And much to my delight, I found something amazing inside. And since then, I wore out the tamales pretty big right before Lent started.
Yeah.
I love them now.
Beef or pork? Or just a combo.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd
see.
Yes. People, chicken, I'll do any of them.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. People are always like, oh, no, I like people. I'm like you guys. Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes, yeah, just show, just whatever.
What else you got?
Just hand them to
I'm
me.
In on it, man.
You got
yeah.
a vegetarian one? I'm in, too.
I'll try it out.
Cheese and beans? Come on.
Yeah. Why not? I think they're delicious. I absolutely love them. We got chimmy with queso covered on it, double rice, through the refried beans from the 817.
Beans are good, though. The beans are good.
That sounds delicious.
The chimichanga.
817 is going with the pozole. If I'm saying that incorrectly, I apologize. Also, chili rellenos, which is delicious as well. I've had that many, many times. Tacos. We're getting the menudo texted in quite a bit. People love the menudo bag.
I got to check that out next.
That's a good hangover meal, right?
Yeah, it
isn't
is.
Isn't that the whole big
well, and the
hangover
first time,
deal?
The first time I had menudo was actually at Javier's down in Dallas.
You know, Javier's is excellent.
The first boy band as well, Menudo.
Menudo, I knew this was coming.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Good old beef fajitas from the 214.
Shoot,
How about enchiladas?
I love enchiladas.
See, enchiladas, I love enchiladas because they're very versatile. Like with the tortilla, you can fill it with anything.
Shrimp, chicken.
Yeah, eggs, crab meat, one of my favorites.
Oh, but, yeah.
You know, anything that you dip in, like with sauce and it's corn and flour.
Oh, it's just the
I think I was traumatized by the onions they put in there. You know, the diced onions.
The diced onions get you one time?
Yeah. Yeah, they put too many in and they hide. You know, you got rolls of tortilla and cheese and chicken, and you think you got a delicious bite. There's an onion parked right in the middle.
Okay. Yeah. Honorable mentions, we've got elote.
If I could reach over there and just kind of hit him upside the head, I just can't quite get
there. Dawson, just eat the damn onion, but whatever, man.
Oh, it's hiding. Look out.
Oh, gosh.
Oh,
it came out of nowhere. You know, that's one of his top 10
taste bomb.
Just one of the best parts is actually the crunch of the onion with the cheese, in my opinion.
I think it's delicious.
I do, too.
And I do miss some sauteed onions. I can't have those on soda because it brings up the sugar content.
Sugar.
But gosh, some grilled onions. Mm. Oh, yeah, that's where it's at right there. Tostadas and mole. Those are the honorable mentions as well that come in here. We've had
mole
get texted as well. Oh, sopapillas from the 972.
Oh. Yeah, those are good.
And no, you didn't hear. You heard chili rellenos, not
chili rellenos,
not anus.
chili rellenos.
Yeah, no, you're good.
What are you doing over there?
Carne asada. Yeah, that's definitely another one that people love. Number 10 though is ceviche.
Different, like Gavin. All right, Gavin. It's kind of like poke for that kind of food.
Okay.
So,
I always thought ceviche was like a drink.
No, it's like
a starter.
Yeah, it's like.
Oh, it looks like it's got a lot of
cold,
pico de gallo.
Yeah,
in there.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like
chilled seafood. You've got some squid in there, shrimp, maybe some crab meat,
fresh onion and tomato,
a lot of
and pepper.
A lot of pico.
That's the thing is, Gavin. Gavin's all about the poke bowl, but then all of a sudden you say ceviche, and it's kind of like. I'm good on that.
Yeah, I'll have a unique bowl probably when it's crafted.
Number 9 is the pozole, which I've never had.
Is that a new Pizza Hut item?
No, it's not the.
That does sound like a Pizza Hut item.
It kind of does. Like it does sound a little bit Italian, but I don't know exactly. It is one of the
That's
most popular
9?
Mexican food dishes.
That kind of looks like ceviche, except more of a soup.
Yeah, it's a traditional super stew from Mexico. Made with hominy, with meat.
Oh, okay.
Seasoned with
chicken
lettuce.
Or wild turkey stew.
Yeah, it looks really. Oh, it looks hearty. That also looks like something that'd be delicious after
a
hangover.
That does look good. Yeah.
Number 8, we got the enchiladas.
Heck yeah!
Can't go wrong.
Yeah.
Number 7,
I got an issue with the enchiladas.
Oh, because of the damn onions.
The onions, the little hidey onions.
My mom makes them better than my fiance wife,
oh.
And I'm trying to get her to adopt the recipe. It's sensitive. She's very proud of her enchiladas.
Is that what you do every time you go back home? You're like, Mom, get the enchiladas.
I did last time. I was
no
like,
onions.
Honey, you want to make enchiladas with my mom?
How did that go
She
over?
Makes a lot of good stuff, but my mom's are better, and I want them made like that. It did not go well. Not
really?
Go
what,
well.
She say no? Does she know? Have you kind of
No, she said she was going to go take a nap with Remy.
Great. Like, okay. Awesome. Yeah. All right, you're missing out. We'd love that. Number 7 is quesadillas.
Kind of basic.
Basic, traditional.
Kind of basic.
But good. Number six are the tamales on National Tamale Day.
Yeah.
Comes in at number six.
I think that's kind of a low rating for tamales myself.
I think so, too.
Yep.
And you know what? That's become quite a staple for, like, the holidays as well.
Let me tell you what. Yeah. Not easy to make tamales, though.
No.
That is very
time. A lot
time,
of love goes into that.
If somebody gives you tamales as a gift, they really do care about you. Because that is, if they're handmade, that is a long, long time doing it.
Top five Mexican foods on National Tamale Day. Number five is menudo.
So they say it's a great hangover meal.
It's good. I mean, the one time I tried it out, it was good. 817 said they need me to let you know, Gavin, that enchiladas without onions are not enchiladas.
Okay. Ooh. All right. I guess they're different.
Borderline offended.
They're better.
Number four is burritos. And that's a very popular one that's been texted in, like the smothered burrito.
Flour tortilla, of course, right?
Oh, yeah, usually.
The bigger, burrito. The better.
Yeah.
You just put as much stuff in there as you can.
Love burritos. Number three are tacos. And it's not specific like the burrito taco or al pastor. It's just tacos in general. They're all going to lump into one category.
Throw some steak in there and you got it made, my opinion.
Definitely don't want the pastor tacos, you know.
You don't want the al pastor?
No.
The pastor ones?
That just, it doesn't seem right to me. What are we doing here?
Number two, huevos rancheros.
Okay, see, I'm an out on this because it involves a fried egg. And it looks like a really good meal other than the fried egg.
Are you bleeping kidding me?
No, I'm not bleeping kidding.
I'm next to one schmuck that won't have some onions and another idiot that's going to bitch about the fried egg.
I'm just telling you, lose the fried egg.
What am I doing? You call yourself a foodie.
Yeah, lose the fried egg aspect of that, and we've got something going.
Yes.
Yeah.
And yes, 919, we got the breakfast included. We got the huevos rancheros. All right, but number one. The most popular Mexican
That's number two?
Food. That was
Over
two.
Tamales? You know.
Number one.
Number one,
and I looked at a bunch of different lists. And this was number one.
I was saying something I couldn't say, Gavin.
Okay.
Chilaquiles.
What?
Chilaquiles comes in at number one.
Chilaquiles.
That's also a breakfast, but it's going to be
scrambled.
See,
this is the authentic stuff.
This is big.
This looks amazing right here.
It's so good. If you haven't had chilaquiles.
Oh, it's another one with the fried egg.
There's no fried egg in the chilaquiles. They're scrambled.
I'm looking at it right now.
That's optional. That's just one fried egg on top of a giant dish.
Yeah,
you can eat around that, Brian.
You can go one or the other. You can go scrambled or you can go fried on the chilaquiles.
What the hell? No, it's got a fried egg in the middle of it.
Yeah, but you don't have to go with the fried egg. You can go with the scrambled.
Thank you, Woolchuck. The top 10 at 420 every afternoon here in the G-Bag Nation. We're live tech. Texas Barber College. You want a $5 haircut?
Go bleep yourself, Brian.
They have $5 haircuts here in Texas.
Can we buzz his entire body or just the back of the head? Let's get this whole thing done.
We are at the location on Lancaster. And if you come by between now and 7 o'clock, you'll see the G-Bag Nation broadcasting right in the lobby. And in rows of haircutting seats there behind those double doors.
Behind the double doors.
Yes, they're also giving away baseball tickets with a raffle on that coming up at 5 o'clock. When we return here on the G-Bag Nation, NFL Draft Big Board time, we have the biggest boomer bust guys in said draft. And that's coming up next right here in the G-Bag Nation 105.3 The Fan. I got to chat Twin Peaks, though. Why? Well, we got big things going at Twin Peaks today. National Chip and Dip Day, Twin Peaks near you. You know, we have 10 DFW locations after the recent installation of the Speedway location up there in Northlake. But, yeah, try out one of the fan favorites for National Chip and Dip Day today at Twin Peaks. The Triple Play features house-made avocado smash, fire-roasted salsa, and chipotle queso served with warm tortilla chips. The best part is they're just $5 all day with any $10 purchase found at participating locations. Twin Peaks, get it at your favorite lodge. You know that 29-degree draft beer is sitting there on tap. It's going to be amazing. It's calling you. It's calling me, and actually, Twin Peaks is the place to be because they have something on the menu to satisfy any fan's appetite. And that beer, they have right up there. You can see ice crystals form on the glass. It is so cold. So pair any of their made-from-scratch menu with that frosty one, and you are in for a legendary sports-watching experience. I'll see you at Twin Peaks soon for each drink, scenic views. Shoot, yeah. It is the G-Bag Nation here. We're live at Texas Barber College all afternoon on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. You want a career, a change of career, you can enroll today at Texas Barber College. You can also get a $5 haircut, and they are raffling off baseball tickets. Next giveaway is coming up here in 13 minutes if you are in the area. A lot of Tolos coming through here. It's been great to connect with many of you throughout the afternoon. Okay, is the boom worth the possible bust? on these draft prospects. Would you take them, number one, guys? Do you like these prospects? But also for the Cowboys at 26, if this guy was there, would you be excited about the possible boom, or would you be more worried about the bust? The most interesting quarterback name is a player on this list from the Bleacher Report.
Ooh, okay.
And I find it fascinating because, you know, quarterbacks slide sometimes.
Yeah, they do.
We had one slide in our mock draft today.
You know, Aaron Rodgers slid. Sliding happens. How about Will Levis, quarterback Kentucky?
That's who slid,
yeah.
Was he available at 26?
No. Okay. But he did end up getting to go to the Washington Commanders.
He went to the Commanders, yeah.
Around what, 12 or something like that?
That 10? was 19?
Must have been yeah.
No, 19's Tampa Bay. I think 17, right around there?
Yeah, right around 17, 16, 17, yeah.
That must be a risky quarterback if he's going outside the top 10.
Gosh, dang, I wrote it down. Hang on, I'll tell you this.
I had it, too. I could have gotten it.
How about Luke Musgrave, tied in Oregon State? What's the risk on him? What's the bust potential on Luke Musgrave?
That was 16. He went
16,
to the,
okay.
To the, yeah, 16.
I think Musgrave, it's the shoulder. You know, that shoulder injury he's coming back from, I think that might be it. But, I mean, heck, I think that he is one of the more intriguing tight ends for me in the draft. I mean, you talk about just as a receiver, he's tall, long, slender body, big-time receiving threat, wide catch radius, goes and gets the football. The question is, can he block for me? You didn't get to see that a ton. Now, he's got the size for it, but that's why I had him graded behind a Mayer, and Kincaid's my number one guy, but he's also got an issue. But he plays all over the field. If you want a receiving tight end, he's your guy. I don't see a ton of bust potential in Musgrave. I think at worst, he's like a Mike Gesicki.
Yeah, he's one of those guys, when you watch him play, I mean, he is up the field in a hurry. And when as far as the separation, catching the football, I think there's a lot of things to like about Musgrave playing there. By the way, tomorrow, my guys that are traveling today, they had the trainers had an NFL conference today. They were in a meeting with all the trainers and doctors. And so my guys were flying back, and they said they'll catch me tomorrow. Hopefully at Krusty's Corner at 2:40 tomorrow, we'll have an update about that Kincaid's back situation from Utah.
Yeah, Utah's pro day today, and the most mocked player to the Cowboys at 26 is that tight end Dalton Kincaid. He did not undergo testing. Other boomer bust players, the defensive lineman from Northwestern had a great combine but has not produced. The quarterback from Florida, your Anthony Richardson, that maybe Carolina is hot on. And then Lucas Van Ness, the Iowa edge. He's a guy that could be available later on in the first round, right, Van Ness?
Yeah, we had him actually, and Zach had the pick today for the New England Patriots in the mock draft. And he gave it a reason why this would be a Bill Belichick type of a player.
Huh.
And so he did. He took Lucas Van Ness from Iowa for the Patriots.
I agree, though. I mean, he's the one that is very boomer bust.
Oh, he's boomer busty.
You know, and he is busty as hell. And he's one guy that I just have a hard time. Like, is he a top 20 type of guy in this class? I don't know. Like, if he got to 26, I could definitely see the Cowboys being interested. He's more of that, and I don't even think he showed as much twitchy athletic ability as DeMarcus Lawrence did coming out.
Yeah.
But I think he'd be more of a tank-like player on the edge, right? Does both things very well. When you play the run and gives you a little bit of a pass rush. I just didn't see enough of the pass rush juice from him to take the guy in the first
round.
Gavin,
you didn't want to give it that Northwestern defensive tackle a go on that name?
You should.
I gave it a go yesterday. And I think Zach did a great job.
Adebare.
He is boomer bust to a T. That dude's either going to be awesome.
Adetamiwa.
And you need to kick him inside and play him at defensive tackle if you want to get the best out of him, in my opinion. Or he's going to be a massive bust. With people taking him in the first round, I think that's bust territory.
Okay, there's some boomer bust guys. More draft content here. Why the draft is key to the Cowboys' financial reset at running back here. Story from Gelks in the morning news there. Your buddy Michael Gelkin doing some work here, writing about the Cowboys in the local paper. And he notes that no NFL team devoted more of its cap to running back in 22. They had 19.8 mil tied up there, 8% of the cap. Elliott was responsible for 18 of it. But what they need to have happen here is draft a guy just like they did at tight end, have that running back be, you know, capable of being a workhorse guy. Now you can move on from Tony Pollard next offseason, right? That's the cruel reality
of the NFL business. You feel like that the Tony Pollard is this year, are going to be this year's – Dalton Schultz.
That's
right?
Your Dalton Schultz for
That's
you.
That's your Dalton Schultz.
Yeah.
Okay.
How about a little Belichick story? You just mentioned him. I got a pretty cool Belichick story. Now, this isn't Bill. This is Steve.
The son.
Oh,
yes.
the tongue-out guy.
Yeah, Steve. Steve's just a little bit more wild than Bill. Obviously, he's a younger version, but a lot of his mannerisms and speech patterns are the same. So it's kind of fascinating to see a little Steve, you know, working on the sideline. But he told a great story here. A former Patriots safety, Devin McCourty. He's on his way out. He's doing a farewell tour. And he told a great story on the Chris Long podcast. McCourty says, "The one thing I loved about Steve's is honesty. I remember Steve took over. Pat Graham left. Brian Flores is moving to linebackers coach. And Steve said, Bill tells him 2 weeks before the offseason program starts, he's going to be the safeties coach. The other reason I'm telling you this story, not just because it's quirky Belichick backstory, but how unprepared I think Belichick is to fill out his staff.
Sure.
And we started to see that in a big way.
The OCs.
We got one of them. We got some news today about his staff. I think it's Joe Judge is going to be the assistant head coach. Like, he failed upward.
Yeah, they moved him. They moved him from OC to assistant.
Yeah,
head
he's going to be assistant head coach.
Yeah, because Bill O'Brien's back.
Yeah. So there you go. That's good for Joe Judge.
I might need one of you guys to forward me a show sheet for the first time in this Dell Computer's glorious
dying.
Life. It just gave me the blue screen of death.
That's why you have good teammates, my friend, because I got it right here for you.
Well, I appreciate
Boo-boo.
That. We might be able to get this thing back to life. As soon as you see the blue screen of death, it's time to start planning on a new one.
It looks like it's trying to run.
It is. We might have life here.
It could have just
anyway,
needed
it's going to take forever to find that story. I can paraphrase it for you, though. So,
oh, okay.
McCourty says he and like two other veteran safeties, I forget their names, but this was years ago. They step into the dang safeties room, and Steve actually tells them, "My dad just told me 2 weeks ago that I'm coaching these safeties. I don't know what I'm doing."
Oh.
And McCourty said that was the key to Steve's success there at that particular job, his honesty. He says 95% of coaches would come in there and be like, "Well, I'm Belichick's son. I'm built to be a coach. I know what I'm doing." And they would try to, like, ego and power and energy way there through something that they didn't know what the hell they were good at.
I'm a freaking man.
Yeah. So Steve just basically works with these guys all year. They're teaching him how to be a safety coach.
Yeah.
And they said it really worked well because we got to collaborate together, and then and it was a great season for the players because they got to be more involved in the preparation.
Well, there might not be a better secondary coach in the history of the game. Like, Bill Belichick is a wizard.
Well, I tell you what, and he was, you know, yeah, you're right about him being a secondary coach, but the Nick Saban, Belichick and Saban were together. Bill Belichick's main area of coaching expertise, linebackers.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Linebackers.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have seen a lot of good linebackers come through there.
Yeah, anytime you ever hear an interview with Lawrence Taylor, he talks about – how about the guys, the Willie McGinnis, our guys that are on NFL Live, my linebacker.
Brewski?
Yeah, Teddy Brewski.
Oh, yeah. And Rob Ninkovich.
Yeah, these guys all swear by Belichick and his linebacker coaching ability.
He'll teach you how to scrape.
Okay.
Scrape and fill.
Yeah, stay off blocks.
Stay off blocks.
I hear you, Brian. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Scrape,
yeah. That Bill, he'll get you squared away.
My man just like, he just totally just slammed any linebacker coach ever.
What?
You.
Wow.
Hey,
I'm just playing scout with you, Brian. I'm just having fun over here. I'm not trying to slam anybody.
No, he was. No, Gavin was playing, but he was slamming Belichick.
Oh, that's
I like what he's doing over there.
Ryan Suckup just got released after 3 years in Tampa Bay. I think the Cowboys could go get a kicker here.
All right.
I'd love to get a Suckup jersey.
You don't want round three of Other Boy? He's back to being Other Boy after that.
No, yeah. I think that they've moved on from that.
Suck up, huh?
Okay, we got to run, Nation. We got to run.
Is that computer working over
there
yet?
Are you screening dates again over there, Brian? No, I don't think this is quite what you're looking for. We got to run, Nation. We're live at Texas Barber College. Okay, we got 3 hours down and two to go. You can get a $5 haircut here. I'm thinking I'm going to get shorn during the expressway, probably get a reshaved and a nice fade on the side. But whatever you want to do, they can do here for you at the Barber College, including starting you on your own barber career if you'd like it. And we're about to draw for some Ranger tickets. We're back with the beacon of hope emerging for the Mavs season. It's next in the Nation.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.